What's going on, Halo community? Welcome to the Halo Respawn Podcast, Episode 8. I am your co-host, Hungry Bear, and joining me is South. What's going on, South?
Not much. Glad to finally be back and talk Halo and some Halo toy goodness.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of things to talk about. Not only that, but we do have a special guest, Duststorm from Podtacular. What's going on, Duststorm?
What's up, gents?
What's going on, man? So really quick, why don't you give just a little brief introduction of who you are, what do you do in the Halo community, so that the very few people who don't know you get to know a little bit about you.
Certainly. So as Mike said, my name is Duststorm, or that's at least how I go online. I am the owner and host, or co-host, more specifically, of Podtacular, which is a weekly Halo podcast where we talk about Halo news, community news, events, updates. We go over all the Waypoint community updates, spotlights, and we have people on for interviews as well. We've had streamers, we've had 405th cosplayers, we've had machinimators. We kind of anything that falls under the Halo umbrella, we over at Podtacular like to cover it and try to get interviews with notable people within the community for the podcast side of things. That's my podcast side of things. And then I am also one of the staff over at the Halo Hub, which is a Discord server that is purposed to highlight all of the community created content out there. So whether you are yourself a content creator or you just like what the community puts together and puts out there and you want to share that content, the Halo Hub is the place for you.
Boom. There you go. Awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much for coming on board and being able to spend some time with us talking about Halo. And in a sense, just for some people who've been listening for a while, this will be a good opportunity for them to get to know just a little bit more about you. South, there is some new Infinite news that we finally have. It feels like there's been a drought, and it might not be the kind of news that some people expected, but nonetheless, it is something. So, South, why don't you keep us updated a little bit about what's happened recently within Halo Infinite?
Yeah, well, I was kind of expecting it because Toy Fair is something I follow. I collect action figures. I've been kind of heavy into like the Hasbro Star Wars Black Series stuff. And so I've been waiting because a while back we heard that Wicked Cool Toys got the license for Halo to create action figures and toys. And so we finally got a reveal this weekend at Toy Fair on Saturday. The legendary 117 and his wife, Mrs. Legendary 117, they actually got to check it out, the items at Toy Fair. So we're getting cosplay stuff like masks that you see, you know, they make them for Marvel characters and Star Wars characters, kind of like it's not a full helmet, but they're also, which I'm really excited for because I'm kind of big in collecting helmets. They're making a looks to be full scale Master Chief helmets with his new armor from Infinite. And then they announced some, your typical, of course you can get like your energy sword. You have the, like they're doing a 3.75 inch scale, a 6.5 inch scale, and a 12 inch scale. If I can remember correctly, I don't think we've ever had a 3.75 inch scale in Halo. I know we've had the smaller figures with when McFarlane had the run, but but yeah, we're getting quite a bit different ranges of figures. I mean, we've had the 6.5 and 12 inch with Mattel. Because Mattel, with their 12 inch, they did kind of like the budget figures, but the 3.75 inch scale, they're doing vehicles with that. And I know they're doing a Warthog, they've got a Mongoose. So yeah, they have a couple different characters from the Halo series, like they had some from Reach, you can kind of tell. This is the art, like this is a lot of this is matching the art style that we have seen so far. The aesthetic, we're seeing some redesigns kind of borrowing from both Bungie era and 343 era of Halo. Yeah. I mean, what'd you guys think of what we've seen so far as the, those toys.
Yeah, Duststorm, what do you think? Which one you're the one that catches your eye the most?
For the toy stuff, I haven't been really a figure collector just because back in the Halo 3 day when you had all the McFarlane figures, there were just so many. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I'm not going to waste my wallet on that. So instead, I waste my wallet on the Mega Constructs now.
Cool. But so those got revealed, right? Those got revealed.
Yeah, there were three of those.
Green Skull, who else? Ubernick?
Ubernick and someone else, which... Yeah, I mean, they revealed it, and then Mega Constructs posted right after it. So it's like, okay, yeah. Way to give community exclusivity for 5 seconds. but the Mega Constructs is pretty interesting. I didn't know that this was a thing. They had their rebuilds, which is apparently a different set of build instructions that you get through the Mega Constructs app that you get on your phone. And there was a couple of things that people were saying, oh, these are water vehicles and whatnot. But mm-hmm. It turns out one's a hover bike, and then I think the other one's a hovercraft, not necessarily a water thing, because everyone was getting excited about, oh, we can finally have, like, have drive boat on water and stuff like that, and yeah. Maybe Chief can finally swim or something like that. But it seems like that's not the case with those. But yep. I know there's a certain someone out there who would love to do water races. Sorry. but... There wasn't necessarily anything in particular that stuck out as far as the Wicked Cool toy stuff. It did remind me a lot of the McFarlane line, though, with just mm-hmm. how many there are, all the different varieties. The options, yeah. And then Dustin Echoes or Brohammer with the really angry-looking face.
Yeah, yep. a little disformed, if you ask me.
Well, they're definitely prototypes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, hence all the pending vendor approval signs that yes. are on every single standee.
Well, that's you know, you see that throughout Toy Fair, everything. Yeah. I mean, even figures that you're like, yeah, this is more than likely going to be released.
Yeah.
You know, my concern as someone who collects Hasbro figures, you know, I kind of suck, like,
RIP.
I don't know this company. What?
He said rip.
Oh, rip. Oh, yeah. Rip okay. your wallet.
I don't but, yeah. yeah, I don't know this company, but you know, cuz like Hasbro owns Nerf, and they also got Halo, you know, the Halo license from Boomco, or yep. not from Boomco, but Boomco no longer has it and Nerf has it now. And mm-hmm. so obviously I would assume that Hasbro and 343 talked about Hasbro making the figures. And which, you know, I personally would rather have seen Hasbro do it, because I'm not familiar yeah. with this company. I know some of the toys that they have done, but it's nothing I've ever bought, so I'm not really sure on the quality. And it could, you know, it could be right on par to Hasbro.
Mm-hmm.
Hasbro is just, they've been pumping out the Marvel Legends, the Star Wars stuff. Now they've got Ghostbusters, you know, a lot of stuff I grew up with, so it would have fit right in for me. But you know, I am definitely interested in, I'm not interested so much in the 3.75 inch stuff. More than likely I would get the vehicles if I was to get anything from that line. But the 6 inch, you know, I'm pretty excited about. I just hope the quality's good. That's all.
Oh yeah, for sure. And just really quick to add, it was G Customs Creation, Ubernick, and Green Skull were the three people, individuals who were able to reveal the Mega Constructs Pelican, Mongoose, and Warthog. I just want to put that out there, make sure we get their stuff out there. But I think that one of the things that got my attention the most out of all of those is, well, number one, the classic Halo 3 battle rifle look is coming back into Infinite. So a lot of there's a lot of cool things that we're able to get out of this. There's not only are we going to get some designs of what some of the enemies look like the Jackal, the Elite, and the Grunt, but also we're getting a little bit of more detail about what the Marines are going to look like, and also what the weapons are going to look like. So far we've only seen the assault rifle, which has the Halo Reach assault rifle. So that is also going to be like the look that they're going to be going for. A lot of more retro Halo, a lot of more of the Bungie era designs that we're going to get. Sparth has been doing such a great job in getting the art direction into a more classic Halo that we're used to seeing, Now, I personally am a fan of that. I personally am looking forward to that, especially since Halo 3 was my most favorite Halo out of the series. And so not only visually, but just a lot of what happened in that game really got my attention. So it's at least for me, it's really exciting to see some of those designs coming back into Halo and what I consider as to be signature design, signature look of what, in my opinion, Halo should look like. Now, I'm really excited to see what some of that stuff is going to be. So we got, you know, for example, we got a good eye on the battle rifle being more classic look, the assault rifle even more classic with a more of a reach look. And then something interesting that South pointed out to me was one of the Reach characters. If you guys are aware of the picture, it's a blue Spartan from the knee down and the elbow down. It's black, and then the rest of them is blue. They're holding on a new weapon, which from a distance, South was able to correct me. I thought it was the assault rifle. And if you look at it, it looks like it's another hybrid of the Hydra launcher from Halo 5. If you look into some detail, South got a really good picture that Legendary 117 put out there. And it looks like in the very front, there's a magazine clip of missiles. And it kind of like a circular revolver type mechanism on there. And so it's pretty interesting because we were looking at Reach characters with modern looking like future Halo weapons. You guys,
that's probably a different weapon. I mean, it has that Hydra, but it's different. The format's different, and this
it could be a remodel, right?
Maybe, but something.
Part of me was wondering. So, if they're going kind of back to this old school look, you know how we all know how the end of Halo 5 was, and you know obviously things are they're going to be basically scrounge whatever they can get. You know, whether it's older Warthogs, older version of a Hydra, even though we haven't seen it in previous games, like if it is a older version of the Hydra, it would, to me, it's like, I feel like that could kind of explain how it can kind of explain this transition to a more grungy, you know, 80s sci-fi Halo influence type aesthetic. I mean, it could very well be, you know, we have no idea. It's just all speculation right now, but to me, my first guess is like, yeah, it's a Hydra. It's just either not a very updated Hydra, or they're just like, hey, we're just going to redesign this thing.
Or a new weapon entirely, right? Like, just forget about the Hydra.
Doesn't match. The new Hydra does not match this aesthetic.
I mean, to me, it looks like some kind of like long bolt rifle or like a railgun modification type thing that has like a. Like have the revolver bit on there, but it's probably like, I mean, if I had to guess, like large slugs in there. So maybe some kind of different type of railgun system or like a mat gun or I don't know. But it doesn't look like any particular weapon that we've seen so far within the Halo universe.
Exactly. All I know is that that's the kind of style I would want some Halo weapons to look like. And it looks awesome. My only question is why would they put and attach that to a Reach, like a Reach Spartan? Because if you keep on looking at some of the pictures, everyone's kind of been paying attention to that red Spartan. And clearly that has the same design as Chief and that kind of aesthetic that's going on with the new design. It looks a little bit more like a Halo 3. Like it looks a little different. So it looks like this is going to be what the multiplayer Spartans are going to look like. And if you guys are looking at that picture, if you guys have seen that picture, it's a red Spartan. There's two different sizes. I think there's like a foot long, and then there's the 3.75, I think. I'm not sure, but right. But that thing looks that's an awesome model.
It's probably just showcasing some of the customization that we're going to get in Halo 5, because I know there's a lot of people that are really clamoring about, hey, Halo Reach's customization system was the best, so that might be where they're heading with that. And I now remember where I've seen that style of weapon. So there's I think it's Halo 5, or maybe Halo 4. I think it's a Halo 5 concept art where it's Master Chief with his cloak. And it has that weapon, and there's a whole bunch of elites.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
So that's where I've seen that weapon.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like Chief with a mountain of, not a mountain, but a field of elites.
Yes.
And he has got I know exactly what you're talking about. That's one of the like the achievements for Halo 5. It's one of the the in a sense the wallpapers you get for that. Wow, that's like on point. And then as you keep on scrolling through, there is some more pictures, and it shows the same model of that same Spartan, except for it's just it's white. And then there you can see the classic BR there as well. But so far, I gotta say that the design for example, the Jackal, a little bit more armored up than usual. I don't see the shield, which is kind of interesting. Normally, that's a very signature thing you see with the Jackal, is you see the shield. I don't see the shield on their side, but I'm pretty sure that they're not going to take that out. Oh, it could be he's carrying a plasma pistol. But another thing that caught my attention was the Mongoose model that comes with Master Chief. If you look at Chief's armor there in that photo, he's got a little bit more grunge around him, some more dirt. And so one of the things that I've been talking to South about is, what if, as you're playing throughout the campaign, the environment you're in, you have some sort of effect to your armor and your aesthetic as you're going through, right? So, like, I know it's first person, but depending on the environment you're in, you get more grunge on you. Like, for example, one of them looked like the Warthog looks like it has a lot of dust from like a desert or something like that on it. And so it'd be interesting if the environments that you're in, you kind of react to that environment. I mean, it's 2020, it's a new game. It'd be pretty cool to see something like that happen, especially like I can just imagine you're driving in a certain aesthetic, your Warthog, you know, has a certain grunge to it, and then you go through some water and it gets cleaned white off. That'd be kind of interesting. But I just noticed that slight little detail. I thought that was pretty interesting. Other than that, the action, all the figures, everything that we see here looks great. I love the new look. I love where this is going. I like, for example, the BR, for example, the AR looks great. This new mystery weapon, we're not sure exactly what it is yet. We can't really put a name to it. Everything looks looking awesome. I can't wait to see.
Well, there's also another image where you see the box art of the one that has with Chief with the battle damage. It was just a picture of Chief, but you also see the silhouette of that weapon that looks like the Hydra. I mean, it's literally if you look at the silhouette of the H5 Hydra and this one, like they're very similar as far as silhouettes. If you were just to make them both just like a shadow, like a silhouette, they would look very similar. But who knows? It could be anything. I mean, at this point, because it's all not until anything is confirmed, we don't. Yeah. It's all speculation and wondering what the heck is going on.
It's something. I mean, at the end of the day, we got something.
Dust was bringing up the Mega Constructs. To me, those are pretty cool too, because you know because we saw the hog, what was it? The hog, the mongoose, and the pelican. Mm-hmm. The pelican. There was another picture I saw where it was like a diorama that they set up at Toy Fair. And that thing's huge.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like the color green that they're using looks very similar to the color green that we saw in the Discover Hope trailer. As far as Chief's armor.
Yep.
So anyways, I know I will at least pick up that Pelican. I don't know about you guys, but
I might not go for the Mega Construct stuff, but I think I'll definitely, you know, there might be some more things that come out in the future. I think I definitely got to get me a Master Chief statue. And then there's the helmet. I think that somebody got the pricing for some of these things here. We've got, which I'll go through very briefly, is the 6.5 figures are going to go for $19.99. You got the 3.75 figures, which are going to go for $9.99. You got the 12-inch figures, which are going for $9.99. The cosplay face masks, those are the ones that South was talking about. They don't cover the full head. They just cover the very front. Those are going for $9.99. And then the one that I'm definitely going to be getting right away is the Master Chief Premium Helmet. Now, it is wearable. You can put it on. And that is going for $99.99. And then you have the energy sword, which looks great. That's going for $29.99. And then the Halo Warthog, $29.99. That comes with a 3.75 Master Chief figure. The Mongoose with Master Chief, which goes for $19.99. And the multi-packs with two characters to be dated, which go for $14.99.
I will say that that would be, you know, if it's, what'd you say the Warthog was? How much was it again?
The Warthog is $29.99.
Like that's cheap compared to some of the vehicles that, because I know Hasbro announced Snowspeeder from Star Wars, and I think it's $119, and it's a
wow.
But it is a larger scale, but still, I mean, they also announced a Slave One that is the same scale as the Warthog. And that thing's $130 or something like that. So it's definitely, I mean, it's probably, you know, they're putting a lot of heavy duty paint applications and everything on those, but still, like, this is good price. And I guarantee you, because, you know, in Mexico, Halo merch sells like crazy over there. I guarantee they're going to sell a lot of this stuff over there. It's probably going to sell better there than it does in the States. Yep. I hope it sells good here.
Halo Cannon found some leaked sandals actually that were being sold in Mexico. Some Halo Infinite themed sandals. So yeah, they definitely have tons of stuff.
Yeah, that was an interesting find.
Yeah. You don't always see that.
It's weird.
Did you guys see the big Mega Constructs environment that they had there as well?
Yes.
Yeah, the diorama.
Yep.
That thing looked awesome.
Yeah, that Pelican, like I was saying, it's so big and I want it.
Yeah.
It looks I don't own any other. I mean, I have a couple of the little minifigs or whatever they're called with Mega Constructs, but I definitely want that Pelican.
Yeah, they also show the boat, like the UNSC boat, the 2-in-1. They show that that model there as well on that diorama. That's yeah. But other than that, these figures look really cool. For those who aren't interested into the figures, at least we got some sort of look into some of the things that we're gonna see from Halo Infinite. And it's just a matter of time before we see something else. It's kind of interesting how the community is getting involved in some of these reveals. At least, you know, the community is getting involved and it is being the first person to show them. I would maybe wait a little bit more than a couple minutes till they get revealed by the companies, but it's still pretty cool that they're interacting with a community like that. And I think that's something really special that D43 is doing. And guys, it's just a matter of time before we see some more Infinite snippets. And if anything, some sort of news, some legitimate news that we'll be able to see in the near future.
Yeah, I want something. I mean, this is good. this helps the drought a little bit.
Yes, it does. It does.
But you know, as someone who does collect action figures and toys in general, like you know, it excites me. But at the same time, like I want, you know, if I'm going to, obviously, you know, I'm going to get Infinite, but you know, like I collect the Star Wars figures because I like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I'm more than likely going to collect the Halo stuff because I like Halo and I'm a sucker and I'll probably pre-order them as soon as they go up, especially that helmet.
Helmet's 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a must for me, but
I'm not big on the helmets. Like if I'm going to do a helmet, I've actually already had a couple 405ers or cosplayers offer to make me an armor set. So if I'm ever going to wear a helmet, it's going to be a properly fitting one that's full encompassing, not just
one size fits all. Yeah.
No, that's just me personally. I'm not trying to say tell anyone else. No, this is a bad idea. That's just my personal preference. Yeah, like all the toys that were shown off. Like the only thing that I'm really interested in right now is the Mega Constructs.
Yeah. I really wanted to get the Nerf gun so I can chase my kids around the house.
Yeah.
I need a weapon.
I got a nephew and I got a little brother. It'd be pretty awesome to get that energy sword for them. Something that they can play with and be like, hey, look, you know, this is something from Halo. My little brother, my brother-in-law, he is like, I had a Halo shirt one time and he just looked at that and was like, what's that? And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. Cause you know, like, I don't know, you know, mom doesn't want him playing games and stuff. So I was like, no, don't worry about it. He found out what it was because he went to Dave and Buster's and he saw the Fireteam Raven. So he was like, oh, that's that. Let me go to that. That's what he had on his shirt. And he is now super obsessed with Halo, like ridiculously obsessed with Halo. He hasn't even played the game yet. And he just like loves how it looks. It reminds me of me, how I got introduced into Halo, where I was just like, I don't know what that is, but I want it. And so it's pretty cool to see that. I definitely got to get me some energy swords and some Nerf guns. We didn't even talk about the Nerf guns. There's some Nerf guns that Hasbro Nerf has. And so we've got the assault rifle, right, guys? We got the assault rifle. We got the Needler. And we've also got
that rocket launcher.
Yeah, that's if that's what you call it, right?
So I love the meme because someone did this launcher. of of Will Smith replacing the cricket for the little micro shooter rocket launcher. Because basically what that is, it's like, no, I want that to be a shoulder mounted with the freaking large Nerf darts and be able to shoot that from across the room at somebody and knock someone over.
I'm sure we'll probably get that eventually.
Don't give me that as a micro shooter. Well, someone will probably custom make one that way, but I mean, that thing's tiny.
Think about it this way. Like, with how my kids are with toys, I'd rather spend the money on that for them than handing them my my more expensive
toy. Sure.
And so, I mean, it is silly looking, but that's a line that they have as those micro shooters or whatever they're called. I do wish instead of using the darts, they use the balls that Nerf makes now. That would have been cool. But I'm just glad it's because I've got a couple, you know, when I was growing up, like I loved Nerf guns. Like, you know, try to get one whenever I could. And so I was excited for the Boomco stuff because it was, you know, Halo and kind of Nerf. But
I love the Boomco stuff. I spent way too much on the Boomco stuff.
Oh, man, I couldn't.
I have every single blaster that they came out with, including all of the special edition con ones, plus the armor things that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have like 4 red pistols, 4 blue pistols, 4 of the different plasma pistol things, and then 2 of the green pistols and 2 of the orange and green plasma pistols. And then I think I have at least one of everything else.
I'm sure with Nerf we're gonna see them come out with a bunch because, like, I don't really follow Fortnite, but I was watching their stream. I mean, it's just like Fortnite gun after Fortnite gun was being announced for Nerf, and then, you know, I've gone into GameStop a few times and seen a bunch of the Fortnite Nerf guns. I'm hoping they do that same thing with Halo, where it's like, you know, here's a new designed Hydra that I believe is the Hydra. And you know, here's it. Here's
that would make sense, right? Like, that would be a perfect Nerf.
That would be really cool to have. I just wasn't a fan of the Boomco stuff as far as quality.
Well, I got to say the Magnum, the Boomco Magnum, that thing, someone got it for me for Christmas. That thing up close hurts. Like, it seriously hurts. I don't know if you guys have ever tried it out.
I've shot my wife up close once and I didn't realize it was gonna hurt that much.
Like it hurts. I got the brother-in-law was talking to you guys about it. I got him that. I kind of passed it down because, what, you know, his house is jam-packed with Nerf, right? There's Nerf guns everywhere. So I handed that over to him one day and I was like, here you go, you know, you enjoy this a lot more than me right now. And then he goes crazy with that thing. And then I eventually, it was when Toys R Us was closing at the time, I went and I got him the Boomco assault rifle, the red one. That thing is no joke, too. That thing was packed a punch, I'm not gonna lie.
I've got that.
Yeah, that thing is awesome.
They're all great.
Are you gonna get the Nerf stuff?
Yeah, probably. Because I don't think they're that expensive. From what I heard, kind of as an estimate on price, I think like the micro blasters were either like $9.99 or $14.99, and the AR I think was estimating probably about $30 or something like that.
Only $30 for that thing? I know that, like, it's the Boomco one. That one's around.
Well, I don't know specifics. Yeah, I think that was just kind of people talking in general of like what they think it could be.
I think for me it was. I think what I don't like about Boomco is just like I don't like their dart system and how they do that stuff. How they do that, but because it's like because they're all. I've only owned a couple, but they're all either pull or like pump, right?
Well, what I love about the Boomco is they're accurate. Like, I've had a couple of Nerf blasters. Like, I had the big revolver and I had the sniper rifle. The Boomcos were so much more accurate.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's actual kick without having to modify them. The darts would fly. And like you said, you shot your wife with them and it hurt a little bit, but it's like, you want to make sure that dart will fly and hit a target instead of just like go.
Yeah, like when Nerf says it does like 30 feet, it gets there. But when Boomco says it does 30 feet, it like does the 30 feet, right?
It
from
gets
where
there.
You're aiming. Yeah, it makes it there. Like the Nerf one will eventually get there. The Boomco, it hits its target.
Yeah, I was sad when Boomco kind of went out of business, but
are they still making? I mean, because I mean,
no,
Boomco
is done.
Mattel, right?
Yeah, but Boomco is done.
Wow.
Yeah, since October, they're no more.
Or Mattel.
But, you know, if anyone has some Boomco guns, they hold on to those because, especially since they're not going to be manufactured anymore, that's going to be worth something.
I'm sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah.
I literally have an Amazon box and then a, like, the Halo 5 Legendary Edition box that I kept. Both of those are filled with Boomco.
Oh, yeah. No, like, that's a bummer that they're not doing those anymore, but I gotta go look online. Maybe we'll find some stuff to hold on to.
Well, I know some of the stuff, like, I know there was like, with Nerf, there was a Boba Fett, like, edition. Like, it wasn't, like, it wasn't his blaster, but it was just, like, Boba Fett colors. And one of his, it was a blaster with the ball instead of the dart. And those things are going for, like, $200 or so last time I looked at it. But so I'm sure the Boomco stuff is probably going to go up in value too, especially depending on how the Nerf stuff turns out and people want. If Nerf goes in the direction where it's not accurate, though, you know, besides the micro shooters or whatever, you know, it seems like everything is, at least what we've seen, they're going in that direction of being accurate. But they also said, I don't know why we haven't mentioned this yet, but there's download codes with the Nerf guns and also with the Jazzwear or whatever action figures and stuff.
That and the highlighted villain, TBD, right? So we're going to see some sort of villain, which is going to be pretty cool.
Villain, aka just a bad guy.
Well, I mean, I hope it's not just like some elite or something like that. I hope it's, you know, the villain that we're going to be going up against. And I hope it's not Cortana either. I hope it's an actual something else pops up.
I think it's just going to be a Spartan and a baddie, you know.
Or what if, we still got the Banished, right? So they're still a part of Halo. So you don't know what they're going to do there with the Brutes.
Yeah.
That's an option too. So we don't know, you know, there's tons of things and possibilities and speculation we can go on and on. And on, but I think we're excited. We're super stoked to see some of these action figures, some of these collectibles, some of the mega constructs figures that we're going to be able to get. And you guys definitely got to go ahead and contact us on Twitter, Instagram. Let us know which ones you're going to get, which ones you need to drop and throw those wallets at, and keep us posted on what those are and your guys' thoughts. What is that mystery weapon? You know, let us know what you think that is. Do you agree with us? Do you think it's the Hydra? After what Dustin said, I can't really go anywhere else other than saying it is. But keep us informed. Get in the discussion. Let us know what you guys think. I think this would be a great opportunity for us to getting to know Dustin a little bit more, getting into our Q&A with Dustin. And so, as you guys, the listeners, know, we do tend to have a guest on, and we want to know a little bit about them. We want to get to know a couple questions about how they got it. Halo, and then just to get away from that a little bit and find out what else they're interested in. Dustin, are you ready for the Q&A?
Hit me.
All right. So you have a very similar question that you like to start off when you have a Q&A. And what other question better to start off with number one, which is, how did you get involved with Halo? What was your introduction to Halo?
Sure. So my first foray into Halo was kind of like my actual first foray into Halo was kind of an offbeat type of thing. I had a couple of friends, childhood friends growing up that had Xboxes. So we weren't allowed to have consoles in my family. We had Game Boys and handheld consoles, but we weren't allowed to have TV consoles growing up. So for those that remember back in the day when there were Blockbusters,
I remember that.
Yeah. We would rent PS1s, PS2s, N64s, and that kind of stuff when they actually had the console rentals. But I had some friends growing up who had Xboxes and Halo, and I played a little bit because, like, oh, it's friends, it's what you do. But I started getting more involved with Halo after seeing some Red versus Blue loops at a Target store. They had Xbox kiosk, and they had, like, little demos you could play, but Red versus Blue was something that I was playing on there. And I'd known of Halo, but I think that was kind of the one thing is like, oh, this is, I guess, something I could be interested in. So after that happened, I started getting more involved with playing with some of my childhood friends I had. And it was just whenever I had the chance to spend the night with them, because, again, no consoles at our house, but my friends had them. And then in 2005, Podtacular actually got started by the founder, Fumo Jive, and I had heard about the podcast a little bit. I knew I kind of wanted to explore and see what it was. In 2006, I actually started downloading the episodes, and I took a family trip. I downloaded as many episodes as there was to my iPod, like iPod Gen 2 back in the day.
Yeah.
And went through all, I think at the time it was like 46, 48, or 50 something episodes, and I was hooked. It was so cool to hear people talk about Halo and just the universe that it was. So I kept listening to the podcast, even though I didn't have Halo. I was interested in the lore and the multiplayer, and I joined the forums, and I kind of lurked in there just to kind of see what Halo was. And I would watch YouTube videos in the early days of YouTube, when there was still like Google Video and all those other competing services back in the day. So I got to see what the Halo hype was about, even though I wasn't able to play it. And then in 2017, or sorry, not 2017, when I turned 17, my parents got me a laptop for me going off to college after I graduate. So I got my laptop, bought Halo CE with my own money, and I installed it on my PC, and I basically played that game every single night until I graduated, and then moved out to college, bought Halo 2 Vista, because it was 2005 at the time. So my start into Halo was actually on PC. It was Halo PC. So I got involved with some small groups within the Halo 2 Vista scene, a couple of people who I actually met online, and I'm still very good friends with. One of those friends was actually in my wedding, and I was in his wedding.
That's awesome.
So it just kind of shows how long that's been around. And then I bought myself a 360 as a Christmas present for Christmas of 2007, which I bought it in January 2008 with like Christmas money that I had gotten. I think I got it for like $270 at GameStop and got Halo 3, and I had some floor mates who also had Halo, and like in college there was all the LAN parties, so people would be taking Xbox over to different dorms, and we would have those 4-hour games of Capture the Flag on Coagulation or Blood Gulch or just going to the crazy hours like until curfew and just being playing Halo. So when Halo 3, when I got Halo 3 and my Xbox 360, I started getting more involved with the community. I could actually contribute to the community. So I actually made walkthrough videos of Halo 3, and that's how I kind of made my start into the Podtacular community. And it was very well received. I got one of the, I guess, very first commercial grade capture cards. I forget what it was called, but it had your, just your two-channel audio and your single video cable that you would plug in, and I made got video guides, and people loved them. The podcast went down in, I think, like May, June, July, summer time frame, because the hosts at the time were kind of ready to move on with their lives and not do the podcast anymore. And then in October, I approached the founder and like, hey, can I take this on? Can I keep Podtacular going? And graciously enough, he said yes. And
awesome.
Ever since October of 2008, I've been doing Podtacular.
There you go, man. That's awesome.
Sorry,
that's
that was very long-winded.
No, but that's good, man. Everyone's got the full Dust Storm origin story.
You definitely beat Hungry Bear as far as talking. I'm just kidding.
Hey, man, I could go for a while.
I've been around the bush. I can talk for a while.
Yeah, I'd be like, it was a sunny day. I just keep on going and going.
I sneezed 3 times. I touched the controller and I could still feel the Cheeto dust underneath my fingernails.
Oh, so gross.
Isn't it Doritos? I thought it was Doritos. That's the Halo brand. Doritos.
Sorry. See, my memory's not that great.
Come on. Come on.
All right. So what is one of your favorite things about the Halo community?
We might have to have another podcast about this. No. My most favorite thing about the community is how the community is so broad and so deep. It's definitely intimidating for people that really want to kind of see what the Halo community is all about, and there's just so many different avenues to get involved with. But that's one of those things that I really appreciate about the community, that there's just ways that there are so many ways people could get involved. The Halo community is one of the most welcoming and opening communities as a whole. I'll say that because there are some bad apples in the group. But overall, just how many different communities the franchise, the developers, the game supports is really encouraging. And then also just how deep you can get into it. Like, I know, like, there are some cosplayers that go on to start their own companies and make their own armor and mm-hmm. get called out by Hollywood to make armor. And then you have people diving into machinima, and some of those machinimators trying to get into the industry. And, like, it's a very small part of the Halo community that does, but there are a few that have kind of made that entry into that. A lot of the forgers that are notable have gone on to work at 343 or other studios as map designers or mm-hmm. editors or playtesters. So it's really, like, you can really drive into details in any corner of the Halo community, and just you can keep going. And obviously the biggest one of that is lore, but just how the breadth and depth that just colors the community, I think, is one of the coolest and best things that Halo has going for it.
You know, what's funny is that that's the most common answer. Not saying that, good bit, which is a good thing. Shows mm-hmm, yeah. that, that there is a very broad community that everyone is welcome in. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there are a few bad apples, but the good definitely outweighs
oh, yeah.
any of that bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we go for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's working. It's good. This next question here, you already answered, so I'm going to skip it. But so there's two parts to this question. What's your favorite Halo and why? And what's your least favorite Halo and why?
This is kind of a difficult question. My favorite Halo, I think, overall would have to be Halo 2. The gameplay from the multiplayer perspective is one of my favorite, and to me, Halo 2 had the best multiplayer before Halo 5. I really actually enjoyed the multiplayer for Halo 5, even with like the movement mechanics, and some of it is like some of it I don't care for, but like to me, Halo 2 was the best multiplayer until Halo 5 came along, and Halo 5 was like, wow, this really has that good feeling that I didn't get since Halo 2. Mm. And granted, like, there were really good people in Halo 2, and I'm not nearly as good, but from just a satisfying playing multiplayer perspective, Halo 2 just has that feeling for me. And then the story aspect of Halo 2, where you got to see the Arbiter side of the story, being able to explore the Covenant side and get both sides of the story, that was really inspiring to me. Like, you obviously know the human side, and you had all the books that kind of supported that, but getting to see what the Arbiter went through and getting to see him processing what actually is going on and going through those emotions, like that mm-hmm. I connected with the Halo 2 story, and having that back and forth was one of the coolest things. And then Halo 5 for that was such a letdown. But I don't think they'll do this for Infinite, but I hope some mainline first-person shooter Halo does that kind of system in the future, because I think that kind of storytelling has a lot of potential and a lot of room to work with to really deliver a story if you do it right.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
As far as least favorite Halo, Halo 3. Hands down.
Same here.
Wow. I'm left alone here.
Halo 3 really knocked me for the multiplayer because of the weird triangle system for your looking stick, and that threw me off. Like, that one mechanic really made Halo 3 multiplayer very unsavory for me.
Hmm. Okay.
And then the campaign, it was all right. It wasn't anything special. And it was a good way to wrap up the story. But it just didn't have the impact that Halo 1 and Halo 2 did for me.
I agree.
Yeah, Halo 3 is my personal favorite, but it has a lot to do with just that the time there, with how involved the community was, how hyped everyone was, and I had like ridiculous amounts of hours put into the LAN parties. And Halo 3 was the game that I did that. So it was cool to like be able to bond with friends and everything too. And there's people that I started playing Halo 3 with that, you know, they went to my wedding too, you know. So for me, Halo 3 hits that nostalgia funny bone for me. And so for me, Halo 3 is like the go to. But it's good to hear something different. It's good to also go ahead and see a different aspect of what other people like. Halo 2, amazing, amazing multiplayer.
I will agree with you that Halo 3 was the peak of the Halo community.
Yes.
So I can sympathize isn't the right word, but I can appreciate.
Yes.
Why you would say Halo 3 is your best Halo. For me, like, I'm just looking at the game itself,
mm-hmm.
and that was like enough to just turn me off. But yeah, the community around Halo 3, and again, Halo 3 is when I got into Podtacular and really got into the community and started mm-hmm. making a name for myself. So yeah, like that time frame of the Halo franchise and the Halo universe is definitely an impactful one for me.
Prime time.
But just taking the game and just looking at the game from a technical delivery perspective and mm-hmm. just the entity itself, yeah, it's my least favorite.
Okay, no doubt. So getting into question number 5, what has been your favorite Halo-related event thus far?
Tough one,
because you've been to many of them.
I've been to a lot of events. Can I give you my top?
Top three. Okay. Of course, not brief, but not too brief.
Yeah. So the first one that was most impactful to me was PAX Prime, because it was PAX Prime back in the day. Mm-hmm. PAX Prime 2011, which was Halo Fest. And second Halo mm-hmm. Fest doesn't count. Halo Fest, that was my first convention outside like MLG, because I count MLG as like the esports stuff. I'd been to MLG Dallas 3 times before going to PAX.
Mm-hmm.
But PAX Prime 2011, Halo Fest, was the first time I'd ever been to a gaming convention. I was invited out by 343, BS Angels specifically. I didn't have to pay for a pass because I was media, and I got to be on a panel.
Nice.
And I got to visit the studio.
Oh, everything you'd want.
Everything in one fell swoop, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself at that point. So that's definitely the first big one that really comes to mind. Second one for me would be E3 2014. There is a picture of me, Green Skull, Unishek, before he joined 343, and Naked Eli. And we had just bonded being like Halo fans and whatnot, but like that E3 was a very memorable E3 for reasons I'm not allowed to divulge, but just mm-hmm, being mm-hmm. able to meet some of the other developers and kind of be in this professional setting and see kind of the other side of the fence a little bit. So like as mm-hmm. fans, we get to see obviously the end product and that kind of side of the community fence, where the other side of the fence is a little more, okay, this is how the developers think. This is how mm-hmm. they, like, you have the community perception and you have the developer perception. And it's interesting to see where those lines intersect and where they don't meet. And that's not to say that that's not a good thing, but they're thinking of so many different things that most of the community has no clue about. So that was a real eye-opener for me, and being able to just see that dichotomy, and it gave me an appreciation for, okay, and looking at it now, it's like, I know how to best convey information back and forth and really be able to build up both sides of the equation to make the Halo franchise just that much better from a community perspective and a developer perspective, being in the position that I'm in.
Awesome.
And then the last one, I'm just going to lump them all together, Outpost.
Oh, yeah.
just Outpost. And yes, I was insane, and I did 24 freaking panels during the whole summer and went to every single location, but it was the best summer that I've had in my entire life.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
What? Which one really hit home for you? Which one stood out?
Houston.
Houston. Of course.
Houston. My hometown.
Yeah, of course. Awesome, man. No, that's great. Outpost was amazing. That's what helped start Halo Respawn. There's a lot of awesome things. I mean, there's the Sacred Halo guys, Sacred Icon Halo guys. I think, if I'm mistaken, shortly after Outpost, they started up too. I mean, Outpost was probably one of the most special things and events that
it's
took place.
Interesting. You, Sacred Icon, and Halo Outreach. All of your guests were John Friend and Jeff Easterling as like your initial podcast episode.
Yeah.
There are three podcasts out of the five podcasts that started last year that started at Outpost Discovery.
Yep. And it just goes to show how one event, or you know, for you, series of events, but how one event could really change someone's life for the better, right? So like for me, I love the Halo community, and so after getting involved into these events and networking, it's just gotten way better from there. There's a lot of potential, there's a lot of things in the horizon that are in the works and are being talked about, and we're so excited to see where this is going to go in the future. We're super excited to see, just in general, 2020 is the year for Halo, right? It's going to be like the best year we've seen in a long time. We can go on and on, but I don't think people know how good it's going to get, man. Like,
yeah, it's definitely a make or break.
Yes. Sure.
Like,
yes.
It really is.
Not that I don't have any faith in 343, but yeah, it's definitely a make or break. And I think they know it too, because we're getting all these toys. We're getting, you know, and some more toys, you know. It's like, this is something they're going to try to build. I mean, like, I would love to see this brand get as big as something like Star Wars or Marvel. Like, you know, we're supposed to see more stuff when it comes to the Halo TV series. So hopefully, I mean, there's a lot that's, something's going to stick. I hope, you know, I have a lot of faith in them, and I hope that we, you know, get the game we want.
Well, Halo TV show is going to come out after Infinite.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is going to be good that we have like things stretched out, right? So it's going to be Infinite. You know, then after a while, you're going to be like, well, I need something. And then we're going to get the show. And then I'm pretty sure we've talked about this, and we're not going to get too much into it today, I promise, even though I would love to. But, you know, my thing is that Infinite is going to be a games as a service, and there's going to be a very, you know, good roadmap for that game. And I think it's going to be a really good study of content coming out from that game. And and I think that 343, like Sal said, they know what's on the line here, and there's a lot on the line right now. It's like the make it or break it, right? It's let's get this thing on. And I think everybody, Chris Lee, is doing a good job so far. I mean, what we've seen, let's just go by what we have seen. We haven't seen much. What we have seen, and it could be that I'm drinking the Kool-Aid and I'm on the hype right now, but I've actually just taken time to sit back and look from a distance and try to look at this at another perspective. Is, and I agree now after doing that, is everything I've seen, I am 100% on point with. I have no complaint whatsoever. So if that's what how I can relate. If that's how it is for me thus far, then let's go, man. That Discover Hope trailer, on point. Let's go. The figures and everything we see, on point. Let's go. You know, the sound, the aesthetic, the art design. I'm 100% in. I'm throwing my wallet now. So if they've done thus far, you know, so well, let's see. Because I think the gameplay, I think they know what they need to do, and I think they're gonna pull it off. And man, again, 2020, let's do this. But South, you want to ask
I was gonna say real quick. You know, the one thing that I'm noticing, it's kind of like, okay, so, you know, obviously with any community, Star Wars, Halo, whatever, you know, there's going to be a split. You know, I'm hoping that Infinite does what The Mandalorian did for Star Wars fans, because it's a very toxic split up, like, you know, oh, original trilogy is the only, you know, Star Wars for me. I'm this and that. But it's like, but here's Baby Yoda. Here's this child. And here's this Mandalorian, that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought a lot of people together. And I'm hoping we see that with Infinite.
Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't, though, like, here's the thing that I see with the Halo community. And it's something that I try to encourage for everybody. Is everybody has an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is not wrong to have their opinion, but respect the opinion and go on with your life. It's not worth the energy exactly. that you have mm-hmm. to go and say someone's wrong for thinking something a certain way. I mean, there's a little leeway with that, where it's like, okay, if you're saying like 343 is wrong to do something, it's like, well, no, it's 343's game. So there's obviously like, there are some right and wrong things, but for the most part, if someone is like voicing out of, and like this is marriage advice too, but like if someone's speaking with feeling, then there it's just the way that they feel about the franchise, which is totally fine if they're talking with fact. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have a little more of an argument there, but always be respectful, always be looking to find ways to build each other up,
mm-hmm.
and like, don't be negative. Like, obviously yes. be critical, be constructive and all that stuff. That's definitely needed. And yeah. be smart with your feedback. Jesse, if you're listening, high five. but yeah, there's negativity still within the Halo community. Thankfully it's not as much as it used to be, but there's, like, if people are being negative, just drown them out. Just mm-hmm. don't fuel it.
Like, yeah, and see, and there, like you brought up a good point. Like, there's a difference between being critical and just trashing something, or taking an offense to someone's opinion. You know, because you know, I'll just bring Star Wars into it. Like you know, you have someone say the wrong opinion, and like some people are just like, "How dare you?" You know, kind of the kind of mindset. It's like, people invest a lot into these franchises, and I understand that, like, if you really like something, you really like something. But you know, if someone is critical about something, there's a difference between being negative and critical. Like, you know, I could be, you know, like I used to play music, and I understand that a lot of people didn't like our style of music, but there's also people who enjoyed it. And but I didn't focus on the, you know, people not liking it. You know, if things got bigger, you know, at that time, you know, it would have continued. Like, you know, people are like, oh, that, you know, that band's trash and all that kind of stuff. And you know, there's a difference between that and saying, it's just not my thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, or I don't like this weapon in Halo. it's okay to be critical, and it's okay to have opinions, but people also need to be able to learn, like, hey, though, that's your opinion, this is my opinion, let's move on.
We've talked about this quite a bit, but it's respect the process, right? So there's a process that goes into making a game. There's a process that goes into the game development process. Respect it. There's the, you know, don't get ahead of it. No one wants to be that guy. So there's that, you know, no one, maybe there is people who want to be that guy, but there's people who will just go in and they'll troll, they'll say something negative, they'll go in and they'll trash it out just to be that guy. But at the end of the day, no one remembers that person for anything positive or good at all, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be remembered for anything bad, right? Like, I make a mistake, I want to correct it, I want to acknowledge it and be humble and say, hey, I made a mistake, will you forgive me, I'm sorry, you know, and move on and try to like develop from there and become better from there. I don't know why people have the audacity or have the drive to be able to literally insult a person for their job, right? So like, you know, you go to a place, your car, you know, your car needs work, you go to the place, the guy does the job, but he didn't leave a new scent thing in your car. You're going to go over there and tell the guy that he's terrible, he deserves a special place in hell in his face? No, right? And that's what people do in a sense to the gaming industry. They go to the developers, they'll say, hey, I wanted my battle rifle to look this way and it didn't. You know what? And then they'll go off and it's like, wait, dude, like, that's a real person. Like, you're talking to an actual person. And I feel people forget about that when they're behind a keyboard or they're behind their thumbs typing something down. They're forgetting that they're talking to an actual person who has a family, who has a life, who has feelings that, like, this is what they do every day. You know what I mean? And so it's tough to be in the industry because you have all this attention and eyes on you. But I think people forget to respect the process and respect the people who are making these things. Like, they're doing you a favor. They're working hard and making a product for you. I get that there's some circumstances where, you know, a development develop team might do something, you know, and people are broadly, you know, not for it. I get that happens. But at the end of the day, when something, you know, just respect these people, like, they're real people. And I think that, you know, some people forget that. But the next question we'll get into, because that was a great conversation, but the next question we'll get into is
sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry, because that was really awesome. And I think also some listeners who needed to hear that, and it's good that you know, we also keep each other on check as a Halo community. I feel like we need to encourage each other to do the right thing when we're doing something right, encourage each other, and if we're doing something wrong, you know, there's a proper way to say, hey, I think we could do better than, you know. And so I think that was really good topic that we kind of went into, and I hope that the outcome of this conversation and people listening is that they can say, hey, you know what, I think I could do better than what I'm doing, if they fall into that category. But the next question we have going on over here is, what is your favorite hobby aside from gaming or Halo?
I mean, what is there other than Halo?
Waiting for the paycheck from 343 right now.
Halo is mostly my hobby. Like, there's a couple of house projects I do, but I wouldn't call those hobbies. And, like, all the projects and things that I have going on, it's mostly Halo related. I love photography. So I'm an amateur photographer, so I guess a little bit of that. Yeah, and then everything else I do project-wise or tinker-wise or hobby-wise, it's mostly because of Halo.
What kind of movies do you like to watch?
Mostly sci-fi or action.
South is on his first date with you right now.
So, like, from a TV show franchise thing, things like Star Trek, Stargate.
Nice. Oh, Stargate.
Warehouse 13.
Not a lot of people watch Stargate, man.
I love Stargate.
Have you watched any of the Picard stuff?
No, because it's CBS All Access. So whenever I'm ready to binge watch it, I'll get it for a month and I'll binge watch it and just not
get that free month and binge.
Exactly. It's like, just wait for it to be done so I can binge the whole thing and only do the free month.
Yeah,
it's good, but yeah, you know, I see some, you know, there are some things and I'm like, that doesn't make much sense, but okay.
Yeah. Movie stuff, all the Marvel stuff, The Matrix.
The Marvel stuff. So what's your favorite Marvel movie?
Favorite Marvel movie? Oh, geez. Yeah.
That's a tougher question than your favorite Halo.
That actually is a tougher question. I've had a lot more time to think about my favorite Halo response, because that's a pretty common one. Oh, jeez.
Yep, I got you there. I stumped you there, man.
Well, while you're thinking, I started rewatching some of the movies with my daughter, because she's at the age where I'm okay with her watching them. And
she's only 2.5.
No. She's 5. We watched.
I mean, I could say a cop out answer and say Guardians of the Galaxy, because that was the first of a Marvel movie that I actually purchased.
That's a good one. We watched Doctor Strange the other day, and my daughter.
That's a good one too.
Master Strange, and I'm like, it's Doctor
Strange. Master Strange.
So question: did any of that stuff scare your daughter?
No, she was fine.
Okay, she was cool.
Yeah, I mean, because that was the thing. Because she said because I showed her all the different movies, and she says she's like, oh, I want to watch that one. The guy with the hand things. I'm like, okay, sure. You know, I said it might be a little scary. But I think, you know, because the one thing I was worried about was the
impaling.
Yeah, and like the eyes on the.
Yeah.
I can't remember the character's name, but.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I was like, and I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, I think this is probably one of my favorite Marvel movies because it's
wow,
because it started to explore the multiverse
yep
stuff a lot more. And outside of the MCU, you know, I love Venom, and I love Into the Spider-Verse, because it, you know, that to me, that was like one of the greatest Marvel movies that have come out in a while.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, not enough about me. it sounds like you probably watch a lot of the same stuff we do, because it's funny, because me growing up, you know, my dad was like heavy into Star Trek. My stepdad was heavy into Star Wars. So I got both worlds there. And then, so I was always attracted to like sci-fi stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I got so attracted to Halo from the beginning. So it's like, you know, like I don't really care about Lord of the Rings or like Harry Potter, you know, stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. I love Harry Potter.
Actually, I really enjoy Harry Potter.
But as far as like, I prefer more of like the sci-fi stuff in general. Gotcha. Like if I'm gonna look for a movie to watch, yeah. I'm gonna watch a sci-fi thing or something that's related to, you know, like I'll definitely go see the new Ghostbusters movie, because that was a huge thing for me as a kid. Like I had mm-hmm. the bed sheets and everything. Like I was obsessed with it. And
he still has those bed sheets now. Everyone, he still has them now.
Yeah, my wife told me she would leave me if I don't, you know, stop.
Oh my.
I have no idea where those things are. They're probably probably buried in the ground, some hole somewhere. So with photography, do you do any like videography, or is it just mostly photography?
Mostly photography at this point. And it's still pretty early on type stuff. Like mm-hmm. my strong suit is nature. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff I like to shoot a lot. I have thought about like going on a photo shoot with my wife and just taking pictures of my wife and trying to explore portraiture a little bit and see how I would like that. But for some reason, like nature speaks to me, especially in the realm of like my Christian faith and like mm-hmm. seeing like nature and especially astronomy. Astronomy is the thing that really speaks out to me, and having just the vastness of not just the galaxy, but the universe and like how stars form and all that stuff like that. That part of nature to me is really what speaks. I know like there's some people it's seeing animals or seeing other people or mm-hmm. just the intricacies of architecture and everything that we do. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's outer space. It's the cosmos.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, cause I recently got into, I got a Sony camera, and so I've been getting into photography and videography. As I say, next time we're at PAX, we should take some nature photos in Seattle. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, we totally could.
I mean, granted, if there's time, because it's PAX, but.
And you could finally take nature pictures of self. Perfect.
Deal.
That's no mood.
It's family friendly.
Oh no, boy! It's
a butt. Everyone got a butt. Come on.
Oh boy!
It was a Star Wars reference.
So
I know it. I got you.
What about for me, my wife and I, we like to try to do like it like to an experience, right? So like we try to invest in going to a trip with you know, we have a daughter, so we want to invest in going to a trip and stuff like that. Is there any hobbies or anything like that that you and your wife like to do together? For example, we like to go and go and experience things and go to an event. We'll go to a concert. We'll go to a trip somewhere. That's kind of like our thing to do, traveling. So is there anything that you and your wife like to do together?
Like date nights, we usually try to go out to a restaurant or do something, like go out and try to do something. And it'll be a mix between going out and seeing a show or seeing a movie or... Mm-hmm. Trying to do something like either mini golf or go-karts or escape room or something like that. And, or staying in or like watching a movie or planning a trip or stuff like that. So it's kind of a little bit, everywhere like that. Me personally, I like to travel. So I know I travel a lot already for the Halo stuff, but,
mm-hmm.
Like my family traveled a lot growing up. So we traveled across the States. We've done a cruise to Alaska.
Ooh, wow.
We did a family trip to Belize and South Africa and Iceland, which Iceland is like Iceland and Scandinavian, like all that's breathtaking. But Iceland is was a just surreal experience for me.
Wow.
Like, I have never seen such vibrant colors in nature before going to Iceland.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
So, traveling for me is interesting. And obviously the main factor in whether or not we could do it is money.
Yeah, of course. That's like, everybody.
Yeah. But if we had the money, then definitely like traveling the world would be up there for both of us.
Okay. And then I do have a question that just came to mind. So if you could take one thing, whether it's a vehicle or weapon or armor, from the Halo universe and bring it into reality, what would that item be?
Oh, see, my initial response is the Warthog, but I'm not sure if that would be my like final answer. I'd have to really contemplate.
Mm-hmm.
That, because it's just, I mean, a lot of the Halo stuff is very wartime. It's like, you know, it's like we all hope that war doesn't ever happen, kind of thing. So it's
of
like,
course.
Yeah, it's all cool stuff, but like, would you really want it to come to life, kind of thing?
Yeah. I would be like, okay, everything as is in here, but
you couldn't go and drive a tank around from Halo, you know?
Right.
Your only options are like. I mean, your
energy sword
or some armor, Spartan armor, or like.
Well, the Spartan armor would kill you. Like, we couldn't wear it.
Okay. If you could wear it, I mean.
Okay.
Let's just. I mean, you got
here. Okay, I got your answer.
Boom.
FTL, faster than light travel.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's one right there.
Explore the galaxy.
Man, you just went there with it. Someone would have been like, oh, better rifle. You went for it, man. You really went for it. That's awesome.
The AIs and how they operate in the universe would definitely be a second.
And not anymore because of what happened with I can't say her name.
Cortana?
In Halo 5. I legitimately can't say it because of the speaker listening. She'll keep going off. Because of what?
It's funny. She actually didn't key off when I said it just then. And I have her listening on my computer, and it didn't key off. So that's interesting.
Hey, Dustin, thank you so much for hopping on board and just going ahead and joining us and chatting about Halo, chatting about a little bit more about you, so some of the listeners get to know you personally and get to know a little bit more what you're into and what you think about Halo. And on top of that, we got to know a lot about the events and what events really hit home for you. And then your favorite Halo 2, which is also a fun one that people can relate to. But yeah, so thank you so much for hopping on board. We look forward to being able to do more episodes within the future. We look forward to being on Podtacular as well. And maybe in the future, we can finally go over the Halo Battle Royale discussion. And we can get into some detail about that and either make people really happy or make people really upset. We'll find out. But yeah, thank you so much for hopping on board. I don't know if you want to share some of your socials, some of the plugins, so that people can go ahead and find you on social and everything else that you're doing with Podtacular.
Certainly. So Podtacular is pretty much anywhere. Just search for Podtacular. You can find it. All of our socials are Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We also stream on Twitch and Mixer for our podcasts and live streams. YouTube also for streaming, and then for some other videos that we do. We have a Discord server that you can check out. That's where a lot of our community hangs out and discusses things. And it's where we do polls for what we play for our Frag and Fridays, which is our weekly game night on Friday nights. And then we also have our own Spartan company, which we're still trying to go for that Achilles helmet. So if you're
nice.
Looking for a spot to join a company who hasn't gotten it yet, then we'd definitely appreciate the help. And then Xbox Club and several other things that we got going on as well. So just search for Podtacular and you'll find pretty much anywhere we are. And then for me personally, I am mostly just at Duststorm on most places, with a few exceptions. Duststorm117 on Facebook, Duststorm Pettigrew on Instagram, and Duststorm117 on Steam.
Awesome. So guys, make sure to go ahead and follow and Dustin on all those platforms. Make sure to be listening into Podtacular as well. This is not the only Halo podcast, and we do want to encourage everyone to checking out and getting involved with other sections of the community, especially if it has to do with podcasting. We want you guys listening. We want you guys getting involved. So feel free to go ahead and sub to them and give them a listen. If you aren't already, I'm pretty sure you already are. South, why don't you go ahead and give our plug in really quick for some of the listeners to find us?
Yeah, you can head over to halorespawn.com, and there's a link to all our social media there. So everything to our Discord server, our Twitter account, Instagram, Facebook, if you still use that thing. So you can check us out there on our website. We're in the process of trying to build up a community index. So if you have a Halo community that you want to have featured on the community index, just click on the community index link on Halo Respawn, fill out the form, and we're in the process of compiling all those communities together. So hopefully those will pop up soon. And you can find me on Twitter at SouthTV, and that's SOVTH TV, and Hungry Bear.
Yes, you can go ahead and get me on Twitter at HungryXB3AR. That's HungryXB3AR. Instagram, Twitter, any of your social media platforms. And if you guys want to go ahead and find us on any of the podcast directories of choice, go ahead and look us up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, anywhere that you guys are going to listen to your podcast. You can go ahead and find us there at Halo Respawn Podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming on board and listening to this episode. We look forward to hearing from you guys. We want to know and get you guys involved in discussion. Go, whether it's through the Discord, like we mentioned, whether it's going through the social medias and catching us and asking some questions. We want to hear what you guys thought about those figures. We got want to hear your speculation on Infinite, and we want to see what you guys are most excited for when it comes to Halo. So get in the discussion, get involved. We look forward to hearing from you guys. Normally, we just go ahead and end it over there with our guests, but we wanted to go ahead and do something a little different than usual. I have a special someone over here. They're going to go ahead and introduce themselves, and you're going to be wanting to listen to what they have to say. Hello, Jordan.
Hi there, everyone. My name's Jordan, also known as the Writing Spartan, and I'm basically the writing guy at Halo Respawn, which is a nice little job that I have there. So I've got a nice little snippet of one of the most recent pieces. You may have heard about the news regarding Halo Outpost. So this is just a little snippet from that piece. With 2021 being the 20th anniversary of Halo, it's also likely that there will be something big planned to celebrate, as with the 10th anniversary of Halo and Halo Fest. There was also a Halo Fest in 2014 to celebrate the Master Chief Collection launch and the 10th anniversary of Halo 2. Whilst Halo Fest 2011 was held at PAX Prime and Halo Fest 2014 was a standalone event, it's likely that if Halo Fest happens in 2021, it'll be somewhat of a combination of both Halo Fest and Halo Outpost approaches. Halo Fest 2021 will likely combine the idea of Halo Outpost Discovery as a wandering Halo event to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Halo. So that's just a little snippet of one of the most recent pieces. But the speciality really for me is the community spotlights and the community features. Usually a couple of those go up every week. They usually feature things like artists or content creators or videos. There really is quite a long, wide range of different features available. And then the idea is just to kind of help smaller parts of the community get a bit more well-known and get a bit more notoriety. So if anyone's interested in kind of following any of that or maybe suggesting themselves or someone they know to be in the features, you can find me on Twitter at writing_Spartan. And it's also Writing Spartan on Facebook as well. So yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, that's really awesome. We're really glad with all the work that Jordan is doing over at Halo Respawn. He's doing such a great job in getting these articles written down for you guys. It's done for you. So if you guys want to go ahead and get more articles, find out some more things, and maybe there's something you didn't know about the Halo community, and Jordan will help introduce those things to you, go ahead on to halorespawn.com, hop on, start looking at some of the articles. You never know. We might have something exclusive. You got to keep your eyes posted. Jordan's always working on something good. So you definitely want to be keeping your eyes peeled. Any of that. Jordan, thank you so much for all the work that you do for Halo Respawn. We really appreciate everything you do. And is there any other projects that you're working on other than Halo Respawn that some of the listeners can go check out?
Yeah, so I actually work with Dustin at Podtacular. I actually help do a few bits of writing over on that site. So you can check out them as well. I also do just general writing, which you can check out all the Twitter links in my bio on Twitter. So my own website and such. So yeah, mainly just community-based stuff, volunteer-based stuff, just to help people out, but you know, also spreading Halo news when I can.
Awesome, awesome. And really quick, what kind of things are you excited for Infinite, man? I know we have you on here, so what are some of the things our listeners can get to know you a little bit more? What are some of the things you're looking forward to for Infinite?
Ooh, good question.
Right?
I'm looking forward to seeing the Chief return as like the main focus of the game. It's been a bit of a bumpy ride with Halo 5 and such, but I'm looking forward to Chief taking the center stage again. I'm looking forward to seeing how Forge evolves. I feel like 4 was very easy to use. 5 was, it had more features, but was very complicated because of it. Mm. So I'm looking to see how they kind of keep a lot of features, but make it easier to access.
Nice.
And the controversial one, Sprint. I want to play.
Same here. Same here. I think like it's hard to take Sprint out of Halo after Halo 4, right? So you got Reach. It worked well. It worked very well in there. It worked seamlessly in Halo 4. And in Halo 5, it seemed like it still was working good. They were able to nerf it a couple ways when it came to your shield charging up. And you know, if you were sprinting, your shield didn't recharge. And if, you know, you had to wait a couple seconds for it to recharge. I thought that was really clever. You couldn't really run away from something that way.
Yeah, Halo 5's approach was really good. And the thing, the way I look at it is, Sprint's been in Halo longer than Sprint. Like Halo without Sprint has been around now.
Yep.
You know, we've had Sprint in Halo for 10 years now, so
yeah.
It would seem really strange to just kind of take that away just for the sake of the odd group of fans that don't like it.
Yeah, and I think like if you really want to play Halo without Sprint, Master Chief Collection is available for you. You want a newer multiplayer, Halo 2 Anniversary is pretty new. It has a lot of
just
good
create
features
your own game mode. In custom
exactly.
games.
Exactly.
Yeah, like 343 have put, I think it was Mythic Slayer in Halo 5, where it was no sprint and just thrusters. You know, like stuff like that. That's why the tools are in the games. That's why we have custom games Forge, so people can create the perfect Halo game modes that they enjoy. And I'm hoping that there'll be a separate section in Infinite for the community to kind of have their own playlists.
Yeah.
A bit like a custom games browser, but improved. From what we have at the moment.
And so I know we've been talking on the Discord, just the Halo Respawn crew, the staff. And so really quick, you know, you might have something different than what we had to say tonight, or, you know, depending on the time you're listening, that we had to say earlier. What do you think about those figures that got released, the art design, some of the look and feel of some of the things you see? What was your opinion?
So I've made a few posts on Twitter about the toy reveal. Obviously the first thought is, well, they all have the Halo Infinite logo on them, which means they must be for Halo Infinite. After looking again, I don't think that's the case. I think Halo Infinite is really going to be kind of, well, we've heard it from 343 themselves, it's kind of a spiritual reboot, quote unquote. Yep. But I think they're really going to use it as kind of a launch to celebrate the past 20 years of Halo as well, which is why we see, like, obviously new masks, new figures of people from Noble Team or people from Halo 5. I don't think Carter is going to show up in Halo Infinite, I'm going to be honest. but that kind of merchandise still has Halo Infinite branding on it. So I think it's fair to say that most of the stuff we saw probably won't be in Infinite. But obviously, the odd bits will. As far as designs go, I really like 343 Industries designs, mainly just because I want them to do their own thing with Halo.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can give us a hybrid of designs that pleases the majority, that's great as well. Their grunts, for example, perfect kind of mashup between the Halo 4 grunts and the Halo 3 grunts, which I really liked.
You're talking about the recent one that we seen we saw just now?
Yeah, so the one in the orange toy reveal. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
It was really cool to see kind of both styles come together and work so well.
Oh yeah. The design they had on the actual grunt itself looks rugged. It looks a little bit more scary than, you know, stuff we've seen in the past. Mm. But then the armor is a little bit more old fashioned too. Reminds me of Halo CE, reminds me of Halo 3. It's not so blurry. Like a grunt from a distance, you kind of like, you know, you got the idea. But when you see that grunt there, you can immediately tell what's what and what's going on with them. You can tell that the tank that's on their back so that they can breathe. You can see all of that clearly. And I appreciate that. I really like it.
It's iconic without being something we've seen before, right? It's fresh. It's, you know, that's what we need in Halo, I think. It's nice to kind of have nostalgia and reminisce about the Bungie times and whatnot, but unless we keep things fresh, it's never going to survive. And it's had 20 years in it, and we can all hope that it has another 20 years in it, but for it to have another 20 years, it needs to keep evolving and keeping fresh. Because as much as people would like to think a franchise like Halo, it might work for some, like Sonic or Mario, but a franchise like Halo cannot survive purely on nostalgia.
Yeah, agreed. This nostalgia will help, though. This nostalgia, oh, absolutely. I do gotta say,
you know, a bit of nostalgia is always good for a franchise, but it can't be the core of a franchise either.
Right on. I think it's definitely gonna. Some things are gonna seem very familiar, so some people who used to play Halo are gonna go, "Hey, that actually, you know, catches my fancy. That actually gets my attention. I remember Halo 3 fondly. That looks like a Halo 3 model Spartan. Okay, let me play this. Let me check this out."
Yeah, absolutely. And like the Spartan designs as well. Like if they are in Infinite, you know, they're definitely more of a Bungie style Spartan design anyways. So people will obviously feel more inclined if you can unlock those kind of things in Infinite to play it.
No doubt. Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm really stoked. I'm really looking forward to Infinite. I think 2020 is going to be one of the best years for Halo. I think 2020 and 2021 is going to be a phenomenal year for Halo. You definitely got to go hop on to that article that Jordan was teasing and check out what he else has to say, because I think you guys are going to be excited. There's a lot coming 2020 and a lot coming 2021. John Friend and the rest of the team at 343 are working on some really cool stuff. So get ready. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. Jordan, thank you so much for hopping on board and sharing a little bit about what you do, sharing a little tease of the article that you have going on, just a little taste of some of the work that you do with Halo Respawn. And again, just in general, thank you for everything you do.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the invite. And, you know, it was nice to share some information on what I do and whatnot. Yeah. So thanks.
And a little bonus features too, right? You got to know what you think about the some of the recent events. So,
yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, it's always nice to share my thoughts. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Alrighty, that's going to be it. This is officially the end of the podcast. Don't forget, finish the fight. But Dustin, thank you so much for hopping on board and joining us, just so we get to chat a little bit, get to know a little bit more about you. And then on top of that, we got, what are you doing? What are you laughing at, you dork?
It's late. I gotta get to bed.
You're such a tard muffin. All right, let me do that again. oh my gosh. South, why don't you go ahead and give our plug in really quick for some of the listeners to find us.
Yeah, you can find us.
That's exactly where you can find us.
Let me start over there.